So, we want to talk this morning about don't be unthankful. Don't be unthankful were the words given to me. Can everybody say that? One more time. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Don't be unthankful were the words given to me. Sometimes it's not what you say, but what you don't say. Sometimes it's not what you do, but what you don't do that get us in trouble. Country singer says that it's not what I did, it's what I didn't do. I didn't love her. Amen. I didn't hold her when she needed a shoulder. It's not what I did, it's what I didn't do. I didn't tell her each day I loved her. Amen. It's not what I did, it's what I didn't do. Sometimes it's not what you do that gets you in trouble. It's what you don't do. Omission. The Bible says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Didn't look that up. I think that's in James 3, I believe. But it's what we don't do. And the aim of our sermon is for us to give credit to whom credit is due. Amen. And that is, we should thank God and government. Amen. And we ought to be thankful. To be thankful is to express gratitude to someone for something. We know that to be thankful is something that is important. Amen. That's why we teach it to our children. Amen. If we give them, someone give them something, or you tell them it's their birthday and they hand them a $5 bill or $10 bill or $20 or $100 bill, you say, now, what do you say? Right away, we jump down their throat. We get on their case. Amen. What do you say? And you say thank you. It's all right. Amen. You say thank you. Thank you is important. Thank you is invaluable. Thank you is significant. It's important to say thank you. And we know that we live in a world where thank you is important. Amen. 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 Companies do it. Amen. Companies do it. Children are taught to do it, but companies are trained to do it. To make sure, if nothing else, you say thank you. Amen. You cannot get out of HEB without them saying thank you. Somewhere along the line, as you exit the building, even if you didn't hear it, it's going to be written on the door. Thank you. Amen. Thank you is important. It's important to say it. It's important to show it. Thank you is important. And it's important for companies. It's important for this country, apparently, because that's why we have this as a legal holiday. Amen. Veterans Day is a day to where it was necessary to stop and say, these people need to be honored. This group of service men and women need to be honored. And it's so important that we must stop and say, everything stopped. Banks are closed. Buildings, people won't go to work. Why? Because somebody need to say, thank you. We don't need to overlook those who are worthy of recognition. And those who may not be aware of it still have to do it. You go to the bank, you don't have to believe in it. You knock on the door, you won't get in because it's a legal holiday. And you won't get in because it's important when someone puts their life on the line. Amen. Children need to do it. The companies do it. And this country has done it. And so we must recognize with that to say thank you is important. And to give credit to whom credit is due. Amen. And as we think about it, I want us to think about the priority of thank you. I want us to think about the problem of thank you, and I want us to think about the power of thank you. Amen. We may not get to it like we did this morning, but the truth is, I don't ever get through none of these sermons, but the truth of the matter is, there is the priority of thank you. Amen. Thank you is something that should come first. Thank you is something that should come before you indulge, before you engage. You say thank you first. The Bible tells us in Psalms 106 and Psalms 107 and Psalms 136, verse 1, of all those numbers, it tells us that, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Psalms 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It didn't say he is good, so give him thanks. But it preceded the thanks. Psalms 136, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You go into worship, and Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. You go in thanking him. You don't wait till at the end of the service and say, thank you, Lord, I got you. You thank him in advance. Thank you is something that should precede whatever we're involved or indulged with. Thank you comes first. Amen. Thank you is critical. Think about Jesus when he took those 7 loaves in Mark chapter 8 and verse 6. The Bible tells us that Jesus took those loaves and he gave thanks before he broke them. Amen. He didn't just start breaking and passing out bread. I think there's a blessing when you said thank you. I think that there's a blessing when you said thank you. And then when he took the 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread in John chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says, amen, before he began to pass that out, the Bible tells us that, first of all, he thanked God for what he had given. Amen. Sometimes it says he blessed God. Sometimes it says he thanks God. That word in the Greek language means, we get our word eulogy from it. It means to speak well of, and you are speaking well of God. They're used interchangeably. Thank God. Bless you, God. Amen. Do you bless the food or you thank God for the food? I mean, the answer is yes. You mean you do both. Amen. They both are used interchangeably. When you bless the food or when you thank God for the food, they're really one and the same. As long as the blessing comes before the eating. Amen. The Bible tells us that when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, the Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 41, that Jesus stood there before the tomb and he looked up and he said, "Lord, I thank you that you've heard me." I mean, how can you hear me before I say something? He thanked him, and I guess what I'm saying is that a thank you precedes, it is the priority of thanks. Thanks come first, not last. Thanks come before, not after. If we're going to practice it biblical, the biblical pattern is to thank God before the blessing. Amen. And when you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, I use the acronym out of the today's English version, EAT. Amen. That's good to remember. E, acronym EAT. Amen. Amen. And that is when you look at, amen, you EAT, you eat after thanks. Amen. Amen. EAT, eat after thanks. Amen. Amen. You don't eat before thanks. Amen. That's the first thing that you do. You see people sitting down all the time and they just start eating. I don't know. Maybe they forgot. I don't know. Maybe they weren't thinking. But anybody knows that God is so good, we got to thank him in advance. Amen. The Bible says that every creature of God is good, and it is to be received with thanksgiving. Amen. And we are to eat after we thank. And this Thanksgiving, there'll be those who may not do that. And so maybe that's why the Lord put this message on my heart. I was going to preach about something else, but he said, don't be thankful. Don't be unthankful. And that one word just stuck in my head and it kept coming back. And I said, okay, I think I hear you, Lord. And then he says that teach this, preach this. Don't be unthankful. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I'm not unthankful. Well, maybe it's not for you. I don't know. But I'm doing what he told me to do. Amen. The fact of the matter is that there is the priority of thanks, but then there is the problem of thanks. Amen. The problem of thanks. And it's not sometimes, apparently, one of the things that's characteristics of the last days is people being unthankful. You see it in this verse, you begin to see, and it says, verse 2, and it's talking about the clergy, and it's talking about the congregation, whether a clergyman or the congregants, it's really both. But for men shall be lovers of themselves. Men shall be lovers of themselves. And one of the things, characteristics of the last days, which means it started at the time that this text was written all the way up until the second coming of Christ, it says, people are going to love themselves in love with me. Amen. People are lovers of themselves. They are covetous. And then they want what you got. That means they covet contextually, interpretively, rather, is talking about money. But you're coveting what belongs to others. Amen. People are going to be braggadocious. They're going to be boastful. People are going to have a lot of pride in themselves. Amen. The desire to be important. Amen. I want this title. I want that title. I want this. I want that. I want this job. I want to stay over here. I want these status symbols. Amen. I got a lot of pride in myself. We somebody other than dust. Amen. Amen. And we get sometimes too high. And blasphemers, that means that we disrespect God. We dishonor God. Amen. And then disobedient to parents. Amen. Amen. Then disobedient to parents is very interesting, because is that not characteristic of our day? Amen. Amen. Disobedient to parents. He says, this is how you know it's close to me coming back. You're going to have all these things going on. And oh, by the way, it's talking about the church. It's not talking about the world. Yeah, I mean, you would think when you read this list, oh, that's for the folk ain't saved. No, we talk about the church folk. These are for the church folk. Paul here is writing on his last days of his life, perhaps. And he is telling this young pastor, Timothy, who pastored the church at Ephesus, this is the way that the church is going to be. Amen. Not the folk in the world. This is the church he's talking about. And they're going to dishonor God. You're going to have some disobedient children in your church, Timothy. They're going to disobey their parents. You know something else, Timothy? They're going to be unthankful and unholy. Unholy means that people are not going to want to live holy, although they're in the church. They're still not going to want to live holy. They know what the word says. And they're still not going to want to be separate. They still not going to want to come out. You know, holy means set apart. It's to be sanctified. Amen. It is that it is set apart for God's use. And there are going to be those right in the church, and they still not going to want to be holy. They're not going to want to live holy. But I want to talk about unthankful. And right there in the middle of it, we see that one of the problems in the world in the last day is there going to be the problem of thank you, saying thank you, being thankful. Amen. Amen. Because we not only need thanksgiving, but we need some thanks living. Amen. We need to not only say it, but we need to show it. Have we got a witness? Amen. Amen. We need to say it and show it. Amen. Matter of fact, if you really mean it when you say it, then there ought to be some showing it. Are you thankful to God? Are you thankful to government for their service? But there's going to be the problem of he says one of the things, Timothy, it's interesting that he said it, unthankfulness. People just going to take everything for granted, take God for granted. People take each other for granted, don't appreciate. That people and on these jobs are not really, their biggest problem is not so much pay or promotion, but being underappreciated. It's kind of like, why do it? I mean, it don't even cost nothing to say thank you. You did a good job. Thank you. It's so demotivating. If you see somebody working and scrubbing and doing and hammering and painting and doing and doing, it doesn't hurt you to just say thank you for what you do for our church. Thank you for doing this. Thank you. Thank you. But the Bible says in the last days, some folk just not going to part their lips. They're not going to even say thank you. Man, they think they deserve everything. Take you for granted. And it's so demotivating. That's one of the things I may get to. But the fact of the matter is he says one of the things that's going to be characteristic of the last days is not so much that everybody's going to be doing this, that, and the other. Oh, we like to tell them that other stuff. No, we like to find, we like verse 3, without natural affections. Oh, homosexuals and people don't have they're not natural, normal affection toward one another. We like to talk about that, or we like to deal with truce breakers, amen, amen. That has gone on too, because to make a truce is to make an agreement between two parties to cease a war. And the fact of the matter is that there was blatant truce breaking. We like to talk about false people falsely accusing us and being out of control sexually, incontinent, and all these other things. But unthankfulness seemed like it really is not supposed to be on the list. It's something that's, isn't that a good sin? I mean, that ain't no cheating sin. That ain't no lying back by. What is that? Unthankfulness? Why would he put in that? Oh, you'd be surprised. There's unthankfulness has demotivated a lot of people. A lot of things would have been better if somebody would say, oh, you're doing a good job. We don't have no problem thanking the people of the world, but we're talking about the church here. Did I tell you that already? We're talking about the folk in the... It's written in their manual. We're supposed to be people who say thank you, to be thankful. Amen. To show thanks. Amen. To be thankful. To have a thankful heart. And that's really where the problem is. It's an inside problem. Amen. You think you're unappreciative and you just take things for granted. Amen. And that's what happens. That's one of the perils of being blessed, is you tend to overlook things. You tend to overlook each other. Amen. You assume that because somebody's there, they're going to always be there. You assume that because your partner is doing that, they're going to always be on the other side of the bed. You assume that everything is supposed to go this way. Yeah. And a lot of us don't even know nothing about pain because we've had it good for so long. And it tends to make us just not be thankful. Somebody say, you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. And then you begin to see, you know, that was some good I had. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The fact of the matter is that I think about Satan. He had a problem with thank you. Amen. Satan had a problem with thank you. And the Bible says that God said in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, that you were perfect. You were full of wisdom. You were perfect in beauty. Amen. In the day that I created you. That means that Satan didn't start when God started. Most folks get the mistake written of thinking that Brianna that Satan began the same time God did, but not so. Satan had a beginning. He was created. He started. Amen. God says, Satan, I made you. I made you. I put those pipes and those organs in you as a being. Amen. He says, in the day that thou was created, God made you. Amen. Amen. You didn't create yourself, Satan. And we all know that Satan got besides himself, didn't he? Amen. Satan did not appreciate God. He did not show appreciation to God. And the next thing you know, Isaiah says in Isaiah 14:12, O Lucifer, how art thou fallen? Right. Amen. How art thou fallen? Amen. You had said in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, I will be like the Most High God. Right. You see, he was created. Now he wants to be like the one that created him. Right. He said, but now, he said, I will be like the Most High God. He said, yet you want to be ascended up to the heavens, but you're going to be cast down to the ground. And he says in Isaiah 14, amen. Verse 16, when people look upon you, they're going to say, is that the man that made, that caused all that trouble on earth? Isaiah 14, 16, they're going to say, is that the man, amen, that caused the world to tremble? Amen. But if you study this, you say, why is that relevant? God did something for Satan and he never showed an appreciation for it. He never even sent God a card. When you read the scripture, you find out that you never hear Satan talking about or thanking God for making him the cherub over all those other angels. Satan hadn't parted his lips. You don't read nowhere in the Bible where Satan is thanking God. He said, God made me and put me over everything, and you don't find one word. And it's the same way it is with Judas. You don't hear one word of coming out of Judas's mouth thanking Jesus for making him one of his disciples. Not one piece of scripture that talks about how done these. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. God did do this. God did. Not one word. Unthankfulness. Amen. And the Bible teaches us that it's important to say thank you. God wants us to be thankful. Amen. And when you think about that, people, there is a problem, amen, of thanking by some. So not only do the people in the world and need to thank their employees, but we find it going on even when you think about Satan. But then there is the power of thanks. I'm not through with that, but I'm going to try to get through with some of these sermons. There is the power of a thank you. Amen. There's a power. He says, right in the middle of the verse, there is unthankfulness. But unthankfulness is sin and is not right. Amen. And so therefore, we need to be careful because that is something that is unacceptable in the eyesight of God. All of these are bad. Amen. Disobedient to parents. Amen. Because children won't listen to the ones that brought them into the world. Have we got a witness? And it's sad. It's really, really sad. They say, I'm going to learn myself. I'm going to learn my own way. Amen. I'm going to get my own knots on my head. Let me make my own mistakes. You were young. Let me do it too. Amen. Said the other day that, amen, you experience is the best teacher. But I heard somebody say that, amen, you may not be able to afford the tuition. You can get it by experience, but the fact of the matter is that God says that there is the power of thank you. Notice what verse 5 says. They had the form of God, but they denied the power thereof. What do these other sins do? What does sin do in our lives? Sin makes us impotent. Impotent is what I read in a commentary. Inwardly, we are impotent because of sin. Sin makes us ineffective. Sin takes away our power. And all these things, he said, you're going to have a powerless church in the last days. Amen. They're going to have no, they're going to look like a church. They're going to have the form, verse 5. They're going to have the form of godliness. Amen. But they ain't going to have no power. No power. They just look like Christians. They dress like them, carry Bibles like them. They got the language, the jargon. They got all that vernacular packed down. But they are powerless. Amen. They have this church, Paul said, this church is going to have a form of godliness. Clergy and congregational members alike, they're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. They don't have any power because of sin. And that means that they don't have any power. I guess what I'm saying is when you show thanks, you get power. I'm thinking going to my seat. When you show thanks, you get power. Have I got a witness? When there is thanks, when there is obedience to parents, when there is love for country, amen, you become a powerful nation. You see, you don't become a powerful nation because you got all the bullets you need.